This is the sermon podcast of Jim Parsons, the senior pastor at Milford Hills United Methodist Church. For more information about our congregation, visit us at milfordhillsumc.org. Thank you for listening, and peace be with you.
Now may you continue to stand for the reading of the Word of God today. It comes out of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, verses 21 through 29. And so hear now the Word of God. From there, Jesus went to the regions of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from these territories came out and shouted, "Show mercy on me, son of David. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." But he didn't respond to her at all. His disciples came and urged him, "Send her away. She keeps shouting out after us." Jesus replied, I've been sent only to the lost sheep, the people of Israel." But she knelt before him and said, "Lord, help me." He replied, "Is it not good to take the children's bread and toss it to dogs?" She said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall off their master's table." Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. It will be just as you wish." And right then, her daughter was healed. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I see some people fanning, so just let me start off by saying we had an issue with the air conditioner. It was working for a little bit. It may not be working at the moment, so just, you know, keep fanning along. We'll make it through. So over the course of this worship series, we've talked about a few people who were transformed into something new by their interactions with Jesus. We looked at Peter, who talks with the resurrected Christ after a beach breakfast, and Jesus asked him three times, "Do you love me?" making up for the three times that Peter denied knowing him before his crucifixion. Peter was restored by this second chance and goes on to be the rock the church was built on. Then in Jessica's last sermon in her internship here, she brought a wonderful word about the woman at the well, that Jesus interacts with this woman and meets her in her pain and in her rejection. Jesus offers her living water, and she is redeemed. And she is transformed into one of the first evangelists of who Jesus truly is. Last week, we looked at an interaction between Jesus and the ruler, or the rich young ruler, depending on what gospel you're reading. Jesus asked the ruler to sell everything in order to be a true follower. Now, we don't know if that ruler was restored or redeemed, because all we are left with is the notion that he leaves sad. Today, we get a different story. And as I read this scripture, I thought I knew the direction I'd be going with my sermon. But in the end, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I went in a completely different direction. And so as we go in this different direction, I need you to be willing to go with me on a journey. It may be uncomfortable, and it may push our preconceived notions of the God that we worship. But here's what I hope you can promise me. Those of you in the sanctuary, those of you who are worshiping online, or those worshiping later on this week, promise me that we can go through this journey together. Promise me we can be comfortable being a little uncomfortable. It's not for the sake of drama, but to truly explore the scriptures like we may not have ever thought it before. And so as I researched into my sermon, I had this idea of where I'd go and kind of wrap up this worship series. I've preached this story before because it does fall into the lectionary. It's actually last week's text. However, I will admit I don't like preaching it because you have to do something as a preacher with this text. You can make excuses and you can whitewash some of the cultural realities that exist in it. You can ignore things it says by simply saying, "We're going to concentrate on these select verses." But what is hard to wrap my head around And what I need you all to come along with me on this journey this morning is that today Jesus is kind of a jerk. As we get into it, let me just rehash a little bit about what's happening in that 15th chapter of Matthew so we can kind of put this into its greater context. In the beginning of this chapter, Jesus is having an argument with the Pharisees, and he calls them out for playing fast and loose with the rules and using tradition as an excuse not to do things. And right before we pick up today's scripture, Peter tells Jesus that he doesn't get it. And I love how the Message translation puts this verse right before we have ours. In verse, it says, Jesus replied, "You too? Are you being willfully stupid? Don't you know that anything that is swallowed works its way through your intestines and is finally defecated?" You know, lots of things that we put on a bumper sticker and a t-shirt, right, to say we're Christians. But whatever translation you can tell that Jesus is getting very irritated in this point in his ministry. I don't know about you, but we all have these moments, don't we? We all have these moments when we've just simply had enough. There's been weeks in my ministry when things just happen, one after another, and there's something that is always calling my attention. There are weeks when I have 3 meetings in a week, then plus I have to lead a class, and along with some hospital visits, and oh yeah, I need to write something so I can say something on Sunday morning. Then there's also the personal life where I might have a couple volleyball games or a tennis match or something else to go to. Then, when I show up to church, some kind soul trying to be funny in a moment mentions, "Glad you're here for your 1 hour of work this week." And maybe you've had these weeks too, when everything just seems to be hard and nothing seems to go right. You just want to get away from it all and recharge and let the stress melt away and just, you know, shut the door and let the world just be out there for a minute. So putting this message into context, it looks like Jesus is at that point in his life. He is trying to get away from the crowds, the noise, and the constant needs of people. And as he does, he is confronted by a Canaanite woman who begs for mercy on her daughter. She cries out, "Show me mercy, son of David. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Does Jesus respond? Nope. He continues, or she continues to bug the disciples, so much so that they eventually come to Jesus and say, hey, Jesus, this woman, she's so annoying. She's still here. Can you please just get rid of her because she keeps shouting at us and bugging us? Jesus comes out, probably rolling his eyes in frustration. He was just trying to take a nap, and he just can't do it. So Jesus replies, "I've been sent only to the lost sheep, the people of Israel." This is Jesus' kind of first jerk response. We know that Jesus came to save the entire world. I mean, we hear that in the opening of John's gospel. And here, Jesus is in a Gentile area of the world. He is making sure that this woman, who desperately wants just to simply help her daughter, know that he has come for people that are not like her. This doesn't stop the woman, though. She persists. She falls on her knees and begs some more. She says, "Lord, help me." Jesus answers again with probably one of the harshest comebacks recorded. And he says, "It's not good to take the children's bread and toss it to dogs." This is the hard verse we have to sit with. This is where some hermeneutical gymnastics may have to take place with preachers. I mean, what do you do with Jesus calling this woman, just trying to help her daughter, a dog? There's only 4 options. You could just keep on cruising and ignore the statement completely. You could make excuses for Jesus. You could water down that phrase a little bit. Or you could sit with it and face the reality of the situation. I don't think we can ignore it at this point because I've kind of made it a highlight of this sermon, so I think we have to talk about it. So here's what some people do to kind of water it down a little bit, though. The word used in the Greek means dog, means diminutive dog or little dog, probably what we would call a lap dog. So you could say that Jesus calling her a dog wasn't harsh because it was like a little cute little dog that we have at home. But Amy Jill Levine wrote in the Woman's Commentary Bible a powerful statement that I definitely don't feel 100% or quoting 100% of it here behind the pulpit. So I'll sum it up by saying this. She basically said, calling the Canaanite woman a little female dog is no nicer than calling her a female dog. The truth is I get it, and that is what took my sermon in a completely different direction. We really can't wash away the cruel and truly bigoted comment here by Jesus. So now I may have stepped on your toes by naming Jesus and using the word bigot in the same phrase. But like I said, stick with me. Don't turn off YouTube yet. Stick with me through the rest of the sermon. Because this is where we start to get uncomfortable. But let's sit here and let's see if we can grow a little bit. Now, Canaanites and Jews do not get along because Canaanites lived in the land long before the Jews did. Think of Canaanites like the indigenous people of this area of the world. Culturally, this was the land of Cana before it was the Holy Land. And in that society, Canaanites were the lowest rung of the social ladder. So Jesus is looking at this person who they culturally would not get along with whatsoever, and he calls her a dog, which socially was probably extremely normal. Jesus could have been exhausted from his ministry. His human side could have had a simple moment where it just flew out of his mouth. We can make excuses all day, but Jesus still says it. And so we must sit with it. We all have internal or unconscious biases. We have been nurtured by our part of the world, our culture, our society, our families, our family to think a certain way. Most of the time, there's no blame to share. It's just the reality. And it is reality for everyone, not just for us in North Carolina and the United States. If you grew up in an isolated tribe somewhere in the world that was not touched by the modern world, you would still have some biases. You would look at outsiders and insiders and the world with a certain lens. I couldn't find the originator of this quote, but there was a quote I heard, and I love the idea, and it goes along the lines of this. You cannot control your first thought, but you can control your second thought and your first action. What caught me by this quote is the internal dialogue that goes on in my daily head. And I might be the only one that this happens to, but this is me. I firmly believe that every person is created in God's image. And when I look at my fellow neighbors, I see a little bit of God in them, or at least I try to. But I will tell you, there are days where that is work, hard, painstaking work. I can get easily frustrated, and my brain goes to dark places. Some of the racism I grew up in pops in. Some of the classism that existed in my life kicks in. Some of my personal biases that I am not proud of whatsoever rear its ugly head. It's all up there, and I hate that it is. However, I can't control my first thought. I can control my second thought and my first action. When those thoughts pop up, I have learned quickly to remind myself that as a Christ follower, I'm called to love my neighbor as myself. And there are moments when I interact with neighbors that I have to blink hard and try my best not to quote the scripture that I quoted earlier by saying, "Are you being willfully stupid?" But here in this scripture, the Canaanite woman holds it together. And she continues to persist, saying, "Yes, Lord, but even dogs eat the crumbs that fall off the master's table." In this moment, it seems like Jesus snaps out of his funk. He comes back to reality and tells the woman, "Woman, you have great faith. It will be just as you wish." And her daughter is healed. But here's the beauty of the story. And so let's sit in the midst of some wonder for a moment. I thought as I read this scripture, maybe with a little bit of new eyes, I wonder if the Canaanite woman's comment led Jesus to see what he was about to do was exactly what he was chastising the Pharisees of doing. Jesus had told them that they should not be guided by tradition, but by love. And now He's almost driven by the tradition of his culture to ignore this woman completely. The woman, though, asked Jesus three times to save her daughter, and eventually Jesus comes back to the place of love and the Jesus that we know is restored. The person getting a second chance in the scripture today is Jesus. I can hear some of you now maybe saying the same thing that I was thinking. You know, how can Jesus, who's 100% God and 100% human, be kind of a jerk and then do a 180 and seem to redeem himself by the end of the story? The truth is God has had some regrets before. God has made one decision and then confessed that he regretted it later. In Genesis 6:6, God is looking over humanity and how evil they had become, and it says, "The Lord regretted making human beings on the earth, and he was heartbroken." God then plans the flood of the world, and at the end of the story, puts a rainbow in the sky to remind humanity and God of their covenant not to do this again. Later on, God speaks to Samuel, and in 1 Samuel 15:11 says, "I regret making Saul king, because he has turned away from following me and hasn't done what I said." God seems to have regret doing some things. And by the end of this story in Matthew's gospel, although Jesus never says that he regrets it, you can kind of feel it a little implied. I can see that because of what follows if we continue on with the gospel. After this interaction, Jesus heals many people in the area, which is in the Gentile world. He feeds 4,000, and in the story, there are 7 baskets of leftovers. Now, in the one story, the feeding of the 5,000, there's 12 baskets of leftovers, but he's doing that in the Jewish area of the world, and the 12 baskets are of leftovers symbolize the 12 tribes of Israel. So here, as he feeds 4,000 Gentile men, plus additional women and children, everyone ate their full, and then there were 7 baskets of leftovers, which was said to represent the 7 Gentile nations. Now, instead of looking down at Gentiles, like many Jews did, Jesus' actions speak louder than the comments made to the woman. Grace and love are poured out in this area. Restoration to this broken land is felt while people eat their fill. Healing happens and people are redeemed and made whole again. The Canaanite woman could have walked away after her second plea, but she persists and changes Jesus' mind. Jesus gets a chance to restore the daughter and his interactions with the Gentiles of this area. So what do we do? What do we do with a Savior who changes his mind and maybe regrets a human moment of his first thought flying out of his mouth? What do we do? Or what do we feel about worshiping a God who regrets doing things, but then the actions of grace and love kick in and redemption follows? To me, it gives me hope that the same God will give me a second chance when my second thoughts and first actions don't live up to what it means to be a disciple. It should tell all of us that we worship an amazing and forgiving God that doesn't let small mistakes or even really big ones get in the way of people being restored and redeemed. And all God's people said, let us pray. Lord, we all have human moments when we open our mouths and insert our foot, when maybe our first thought flies out of our mouth without even knowing it, when we regret doing something to someone or saying something to someone. Lord, we thank you for the gift of forgiveness. We thank you for the gift of second chances. We thank you for your ability to restore and redeem even us. As we pause in this moment of silence, we simply ask that your grace fall over us, your love wash away every action, and that we can feel your healing touch in our lives today. We give you thanks for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, who is our source of grace, love, and forgiveness, always, now, and forever. Amen.